Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the February issue of Ladies' Home Journal. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our first article is called The Rest of Your Life. Wake up to the latest research. A good snooze can make you smarter, calmer, and happier. This article is by Noreen Dworkin McDaniel. Sleep is like air. It's something we completely take for granted until we don't get enough of it. And for many American women, that happens a lot. But while skipping on shut-eye may seem like a good way to get a jump start on tomorrow's to-do list, it comes at a high cost. Research shows that shortening yourself on sleep raises your risk for accidents, weight gain, depression, hypertension, diabetes, and lots of other ailments. On top of that, there's evidence that getting sufficient sleep, at least 7 hours a night, can improve your mood, boost coping skills, and make it easier to solve problems. Check out some of the latest findings on the surprising benefits of sleep. It helps you solve all kinds of problems. Obviously, you can think about a vexing issue more clearly when you're well rested. But when you sleep on it, your brain actually has the opportunity to work things out from a different perspective. That's because sleep gives your conscious mind a break and lets the subconscious take a whack at finding solutions. You've probably experienced this phenomenon if you've ever tried, with growing frustration, to remember the name of, say, that red-haired actress you saw her in Julia and Julie. You can picture her face, you just can't think of her name. But you go to sleep, and bingo, in the morning it comes to you. Of course, it was Amy Adams. No one knows for certain why this happens, but scientists suspect that during sleep, the brain lets go of those extra details and holds on to central facts. So rather than considering everything you know about her, what she wore in the movie, whom she dated, what other films you saw her in, your sleeping mind focuses on the essential facts, like her face and name. That makes the information much easier to retrieve when you wake up. Another way you problem solve in your sleep, you actually dream up solutions. One reason this happens is the self-censoring side of the brain, the part that says, that's dumb, it'll never work. It isn't as active at night, so you're able to think more freely. When you're awake, you usually think with the logical side of your brain. But when you're dreaming, you think with the more intuitive, imaginary-based part of it, and it gives you a different perspective. Some people say they've solved practical dilemmas in their dreams, like how to rearrange the living room furniture or which jacket to wear with the new skirt. But dreaming can help with larger issues. Dr. Cartwright, a researcher, recalls a time when she was contemplating a job offer. She had a dream one night in which she was literally up in the air. Then she floated down onto a throne and was crowned. I woke up saying, I'm going to accept that position, laughs Dr. Cartwright. Sleep, it makes you smarter. Learning apparently doesn't stop once you close your eyes. Research has found that a good night's sleep helps your brain lock in the information that it took in during the day. In a study at Harvard University, researchers found that people performed better on certain tasks after sleeping. In one experiment, volunteers were asked to type a number of sequences with their left hand as quickly as possible. They were retested periodically during the day, and after showing some initial improvement, they reached a plateau. But the next morning, their performance improved dramatically. Typing the same number sequence, they were 20% faster and made up to 50% fewer after the second night's sleep. Other experiments have also shown that sleep actually improves memory. In another Harvard study, college students were asked to remember pairs of words after a 12-hour period. One group was tested on the words in the evening, another in the morning. The group that slept recalled the words. Sleep, it improves your mood. No one has to tell you that when you toss and turn all night long, you can feel anxious, irritable, and crabby the next day. But you may not know why. When you're sleep deprived, the area of your brain responsible for judgment and rational thought, the prefrontal cortex, basically shuts down. But at the same time, the part of the brain that handles emotions, the amygdala, goes into overdrive. In fact, brain scans done by scientists at the University of California at Berkeley found that when you're not well rested, your amygdala is about 60% more active than it is when you've logged a good night's sleep. One more reason you might be Miss Cranky Pants: when you don't get enough sleep, you miss out on significant REM, rapid eye movement sleep, which is when you're most likely to dream. So why would that make you grouchy? Dreaming helps you process negative emotions and sort through all the things that irked you during the day. The salad dressing you dripped on your silk blouse, the fight you had with your husband. As the night wears on and your brain files away those annoying experiences, your dreams become more positive. So if you don't get enough sleep, you miss out on that last beneficial dream cycle. Sleep, it boosts your coping skills. Have you ever noticed that you tend to have anxiety dreams when you're dealing with a major life event? It's not unusual for brides to dream about wedding disasters or for expectant mothers to have nightmares about a baby being lost or hurt. Although such dreams can be unsettling, they are actually quite helpful. As you sleep, your mind is reviewing, revising, and rehearsing the events of your waking life, says Dr. Cartwright. This process helps you better understand what you're currently going through, increasing your ability to deal with the situation. It is also common for people in the throes of a life change to dream about other anxious times in their past. A person starting a new job, for example, might dream about the night she was in a car accident. That's because as you dream, your mind sorts through your memory bank to home in on other periods when you felt the same way you do now. Those past situations can help us figure out how to deal with the current challenges. But whether you're dealing with a major event or just everyday stuff, getting a good night's sleep is the key to making you feel in control of your life. Now, here are five strategies to help you sleep better. These strategies will help you doze off more quickly and snooze more soundly all night long, according to Ellen Michaud, author of Sleep to Be Sexy, Smart, and Slim. The first tip, slow it down. Don't hop into bed right after checking Facebook or watching Mad Men. Build in some quiet time to take a bath, read, or chat with your husband, and you'll find it easier to fall into a deeper sleep. Step 2. Feel the chill. Turn down the thermostat or open a window in your bedroom. Experts say that people tend to sleep better when the room is slightly cool. Strategy 3. Don't drink. Caffeinated beverages aren't the only ones that interfere with sleep. Alcohol can also be a culprit. Though you may fall asleep quickly after a cocktail or two, you're more likely to wake up or sleep less soundly a few hours later. Strategy number 4. Hide the clock. Staring at the clock when you can't sleep just ups your stress level. Tip 5, get sexy. Your bed isn't only for sleeping, you know. Sex is one of the most powerful sleep inducers around. The next article is a fun article. It's called You Won't Believe What I Do for a Living. If you're working these days, you're probably grateful, even if your job isn't inspiring, exciting, or fulfilling. But for those times when you're tired of it all and feel like complaining, think about these five women. Their jobs make most people cringe. But guess what? They love what they do. This article is by Patricia Curtis. Our first woman is Kara Brown. She's a super scooper, and she lives in Atlanta. Brown closed her computer consulting business 12 years ago and started a dog cleanup business with a partner. Now, several days a week, she cleans up poops from yards, apartment complexes, and neighborhoods. Don't poo-poo this job. When I tell people what I do, the reaction I get most often is laughing and a bunch of one-liners such that as, that must be a crappy job, or are you the grand poo-paw? Waste not, want not. The reason we've succeeded is because it's a dirty job and people don't want to do it themselves. We show up, scoop up, and take away all the mess. If the dogs are outside, we play with them. When it's rainy, everything smells more, and it's slippery and more difficult to clean. The grossest moment? One client had been piling the waste in the yard, and she wanted us to take it away, all of it away, on our first visit. But rats had created catacombs in it, and all kinds of bugs were living in it, and they were not happy to be disturbed. Dog days. I work with so many dogs that were puppies when we started out, and now I have a relationship with them too. The dogs appreciate what we do. Our next lady is called What's Bugging Her. She is Pat Wicker. She is a region service manager for Orkin in Texas. Nearly 30 years ago, Wicker started working in the office at her father's pest control business. She got her license and has spent 15 years crawling under houses and peering into cracks and crevices to treat infestations. Creepy crawlers. I see a lot of roaches, termites, mice, rats, ants, and spiders. I have been on calls where roaches are really, really bad. Sometimes they're crawling up my leg or dropping on my head from the ceiling. It's pretty gross, but I've gotten used to it. You just wipe them off. Here, there, and everywhere. We were called out to a home where an elderly couple had lived for years. When we arrived, we saw roaches crawling on the counters and in the cabinets. They were in every room in the house, even in the couple's bed. There were mice droppings on the floor and the furniture, too. Neither the man nor the woman could see well, and they didn't realize how bad it was. The upside of ick? Most people really need help when they call us. Termites and other pests can do a lot of damage. Homeowners can't take care of the problem themselves, so we protect them and their most valuable possessions. Our next lady is Elizabeth Fournier. She is a mortician in Oregon. She sees dead people. Whether she's picking up a body, dressing a corpse for a funeral, applying makeup, scattering remains, writing an obituary, or attending a burial, no 2 days are the same for this small-town funeral director. A dream job? My mother died when I was 8 years old, not long after my father's parents died, too. I spent time in funeral homes, and death became a natural part of my life as a kid. I know it sounds odd, but even when I was in grade school, I knew I wanted to do this as a career. Scary surprise? One time at a funeral home where I used to work, I was vacuuming, and I bumped into a decomposing body, and part of the arm fell off. Now I lock the door, because on occasion, I'll think I'm alone vacuuming, and someone will come up and tap me on the shoulder. You can imagine how scary that can be. Strange request? I've decorated a body's fingernails a certain way, made sure a casket was painted fire engine red for a former fire chief, and organized a circus performance at a funeral. Finding meaning? My days are filled with purpose. I'm reminded daily that life is a gift, and I'm fortunate to have another day with the precious people in my life. Our next lady is Kathy Jones. She is a rat wrangler in Las Vegas. Jones has about 65 pet rodents she trains to do all kinds of tricks, from skateboarding to tightrope walking for TV, movies, music videos, and stage shows. You do what? When I first met my husband and told him what I do, he was like, rats? He had never had pets before, but now he likes them. Ew, cleaning out the cages can be really gross, and I do it every 3 to 5 days. After just a few days, there's a yellow coating of pee on the sides. And because they all congregate in the poo area, it gets smelly. After a couple hours of cage cleaning, my hands generally smell like the inside of a barn, and my clothes do stink. Come out with your paws up. One time after a video shoot, I was picking up a prescription at the drugstore, and I had a rat on my shoulder as I waited in line. A state trooper slowly walked up behind me and said, "Lady, don't move." I got it. He was literally reaching for his gun. I said, "Please don't kill him. This rat is paying for my rent this month." Then the rat ran back into my shirt to hide. Getting to know the little critters. The rats are cute and they love to work. They snuggle and are really affectionate. They're a lot like people psychologically. Our last lady with an odd job is called Peggy Lammy. She is a trash person in Dallas. When her husband Perry retired after a long military career, the couple started looking for a franchise. In 2006, they decided to clean up after people. What a mess. Some messes are awful. The worst are evictions where people have a grudge against their landlord. We cleaned out one garage that had 15 trash bags full of old dog poop that had liquefied. On another job, we found a petrified squirrel stuck to the bedroom carpet. One time, a home was literally full of waste from floor to ceiling. Buried treasures. We often work in the homes of people who have passed away, and they leave behind walkers, crutches, and other medical equipment. We also find a lot of pet leashes and cages, even valuables like designer shoes and first edition books. We donate these things to people in need and charities. Don't drink this. Once we were cleaning out a house after the customer's father had died, we emptied a freezer full of frozen food, and I ran the food back to the office and threw it out in our freezer. A few days later, the customer called and explained that her father harvested stem cells were in the freezer in a red tea box. Luckily, we found them. Now, moving on to health news. Good enough health moves. Don't stress out if your diet and exercise habits are less than perfect. Just try to stay in the pH zone, the pretty healthy zone, says Alice Domar, co-author of Live a Little, Breaking the Rules Won't Break Your Health. Here's what she means. Old rule, choose the low-fat option to lose weight. Why you can break it. According to a Cornell University research, you eat more of a product when it's labeled low-fat. Stick to the regular versions of cookies, crackers, and cheese. Just eat small portions. Old rule. Keep your old BMI, the body mass index, under 25. Why you can break it? Just being overweight, a body mass index between 25 and 30, isn't necessarily a health risk. In fact, one study found that slightly overweight people live longer than those of normal weight. So don't eat a poor diet just to stay thin. It's better to focus on being active and eating fresh, healthy foods. Old rule. Hit the gym for at least 30 minutes every day. Why you can break it? You don't need to exercise in one single session to benefit your heart, bones, and weight. Spurts of moderately intense activity, a brisk walk, or a dash up the stairs throughout the day are just as good, if not equal, to a half hour of exercise. take a breather. It's no news that asthma can flare up when the weather changes, but did you know that your period can make it worse too? An estimated 40% of asthmatic women have more attacks just before their periods, when fluctuating hormones can affect lungs. Taking the pill may help, says Jacqueline Sabet, an MD at the American Academy of Allergy and Asthma. Breast cancer and vitamin D. Nearly 70% of breast cancer patients in a University of Rochester study had vitamin D levels low enough to endanger their bones, which are already at risk from the effects of chemotherapy and estrogen-suppressing drugs. What helps? Weekly doses of 50,000 IU or more of vitamin D for 12 to 16 weeks. But be sure to ask your doctor to check your vitamin D levels before you start this treatment on your own. More health news. 12 months of good health. Tackle one stay well strategy per month and make this the year your family gets serious about healthy living. In January, breathe easier. Indoor allergies can get worse in the winter thanks to closed windows, which seals in dust, mold, smoke, and pet dander. These symptoms are easily to mistake for head colds, such as sniffling, wheezing, itchy eyes. If you suspect you have an indoor allergy, have it diagnosed with a skin test. Treatments range from allergy-proofing your home to vaccine therapy. February. Get heart smart. Mom and dads aren't the only ones in the family who need regular cholesterol checkups. Children between the ages of 2 and 10 who are at high risk for heart disease should also get a blood test for cholesterol. March. Put the kids to bed. Bad sleep habits can become even worse when it's time to set the clock ahead for daylight savings time, which begins this year on March 14th. If your kids already stay up too late, the extra hour of sunlight may encourage you to push bedtime even later. But remember, sleep-deprived kids don't perform as well academically and are likelier to have behavioral and discipline problems. Plan ahead for this spring-forward time change. Starting 3 to 7 days before the change, gradually make their bedtime and wake-up time about an hour earlier. In April, protect your smile. Get regular exams and cleanings, plus fluoride treatments and orthodontic care for your kids. Keep minor dental problems in check. May. Take care of ticks. It's time to defend against Lyme and other tick-borne diseases, such as Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Ticks gravitate to shade, leaves, and long grass where it's damp. So keep lawns mowed, remove brush and trim trees to let in the sunlight, and consider applying pesticide around your yard. After being outdoors in a tick-infested area, check everyone's skin, including armpits, scalps, and groin. Remove any ticks with tweezers and freeze them in a plastic bag to show the doctor if needed. Wash clothes with hot water and dry on high for at least an hour. Contact your doctor if you have symptoms such as fatigue, chills, fever, headache, muscle and joint pain, or a circular rash around the bite. In June, safeguard your skin. Applying sunscreen should be a year-round habit, but summer is a key time for everyone in the family to apply a product with an SPF of 15 or higher every day. All that fun in the sun increases the risk of skin cancer, not to mention painful sunburns and premature wrinkles. In July, go play! The long days and loose schedules of summer make it a perfect time to exercise as a family. Show your kids that leading an active lifestyle can be fun. August, visit your farmer's market. A healthy diet that fights disease includes at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, an amount only 11% of Americans eat. Right now, the stalls at your local farmer's market are piled high with ears of corn, squash, berries, peaches, plums, and even early apples. Try varieties that don't show up at supermarkets, like heirloom tomatoes. People are often amazed at how flavorful a just-picked, locally grown tomato or peach can be. In September, get in focus. The odds are good that your kids get an annual eye exam at a standard well child visit. But what about your eyes? If you or your spouse haven't been to an eye doctor recently, make an appointment. Every adult needs a periodic vision and glaucoma exam. Your doctor will tell you how often. From age 40 on, you should get checked for presbyopia, the natural gradual loss of lens flexibility, especially if you're holding books farther away, can't see the computer early, or get headaches after close work like checking email or your PDA. Solutions include reading glasses or special contact lenses. In October, ward off colds and flu. To keep sick days at bay at both school and work, everyone in the family should get a flu shot or two. Maybe an additional H1N1 vaccine has now been recommended for many Americans. Your second line of defense against viruses and other bugs? Frequent hand washing. Since it's hard for kids to lather up regularly when they're at school, tuck travel-sized bottles of hand sanitizer into their coat pockets. Yours, too. Studies show that these alcohol-based gels can be effective as soap and water in reducing the spread of germs. In November, scale back on sugary drinks. 84% of teens chug at least one sugar-sweetened beverage on a typical day, notes a recent Columbia University study. Cavities aren't the only concern. Research shows kids and adults who regularly drink soda, fruit drinks, sport drinks, and sweetened iced tea are at a greater risk for obesity and type 2 diabetes. Switch everyone to water, low-fat milk, and diet drinks. And don't be fooled into thinking that 100% juice is okay, says Larry Deeb, M.D., past president of the American Diabetes Association. You get vitamins, but fruit juice still has a lot of sugar and no fiber. So stick to one small glass a day. The final health tip of the year for December, be a volunteer. Giving back is good for you. Volunteering lower rates of depression and may decrease your risk of disease as well as extend your life by several years, according to a review of more than 30 studies from the Corporation for National and Community Service. As little as 1 or 2 hours a week of helping out can improve your health. So get your whole family involved and start your commitment right now. It's a great way to celebrate the true holiday spirit and escape some of the season's frenzied consumerism. For suggestions on how to begin or where to volunteer, go to thevolunteerfamily.org. That is thevolunteerfamily.org. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode from Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.